Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to continue sharing the gospel with those in need.
Somebody might say, oh, you know, this Baptist church is always talking about God and holiness and sanctification, all these different types of things. I'm going to find me a rock and roll church where I can live a worldly life. And you may find a church like that, but if you want to follow the Word of God, my friend, God's Word still says, don't live like you used to live. The Christian life is a holy life, and we're to have a holiness about us. If we intend, God will ever work in our life.
The world is changing, but as Christians, our directive stays the same. God has not called us to compromise or complain about the culture. He has called us to continue. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, Continue, we will discover key areas of our life that God wants us to continue developing through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. People all around us are desperate for answers, and we must continue to take the light of the gospel to those lost in culture's darkness. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Continuing in God's Will.
The pursuit of God is the lifelong privilege of every believer. I did not say the pursuit of ministry. I did not say the pursuit of career. Rather, I say to you this morning, the pursuit of God is the lifelong privilege of every believer. And as we follow God, we discover the will of God. And once we begin on the pathway of the will of God, it is without question that Satan will fight us every step of the way, for he does not want us to continue. He wants us to quit. In fact, if Satan would go to Jesus Christ, and if Satan would come to him after 40 days of fasting, and if Satan would tempt Jesus and attempt to cause Jesus Christ to quit, how many of you realize he wants you to quit, and he will try every which way to dissuade you from following God and not continuing for God? Winston Churchill once said, "Wars are not won by evacuation." And if there has ever been a time when we need men and women who are continuing on for God, it is today. Years ago, I read a news article about a little place in Israel, a little city by the name of Netzarim. Netzarim is on the West Bank area. It is an area of a Jewish settlement. It is an area where, during that particular period of time, the Palestine Liberation Organization had been bombing and shooting, and many of the Jews had been killed. And a reporter went into this little village, and they found there a school, and in the school, they found a teacher that had been trained in the United States of America. She could have taught in any school in America, but because of her heritage as a Jewish person, she felt a calling to go back and to teach in Israel. And they were speaking to her about living in this little village, and they said to her, "Why would you teach in such a place? Why would you live in such a place?" And the young lady stood up straight, and she looked into the eye of the reporter, and she said these words, and I will never forget reading them. She said, "I don't live where it's comfortable to live. I live where it is important to live." And many of us in life's journey begin to seek that path of least resistance, that place of comfort. And we forget that there is something far more important than our own comfort, and that is knowing God and knowing the will of God and doing that which is important in the light of eternity. And this morning we are going to see a man who lived his life in the passion and pursuit of God and with a desire to fulfill the will of God. You see, this man, Joshua, was a part of that first crew that left Egypt's land. You remember the story, how that Moses went to Pharaoh and said, "God's message to you is, let my people go." And you know that Pharaoh was very stubborn, and the plagues took place, and finally, by the deliverance of God, the children of Israel left Egypt, and God parted the sea, and the children of Israel crossed over, and the Pharaoh's armies were caught up in the waters and drowned, and one of the most amazing miracles in the Bible. And the children of Israel came to a place called Kadesh Barnea, And it was there, the Bible records for us, that they lapsed in their faith. They no longer followed after Moses, and more importantly, after God. And because of that, Joshua's generation spent how many years walking around the desert? You help me. 40 years. 40 years. Their children missed the blessings of God because fathers did not have faith. 40 years they literally wandered and wasted their time because they had been disobedient unto the Lord. Now Joshua and his friend Caleb, when the spies had gone into the land, they were the only two that came back and told Moses, God can deliver these giants into our hand. God can give us this land. But the other 10 must have been Baptists. They said, there's no way we can ever go in that land. It's too hard. It will cost too much. The giants are too big. And so it was that for 40 years, the children of Israel wandered around the land. Well, now a new day has dawned. And when you read Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, you'll find that God comes to Joshua and he says, Joshua, he said, I want you to lead my people into the promised land. And he said, as I was with Moses, Joshua, I'm going to be with you. And so Joshua now brings the people ever closer to the borders of the promised land. And Joshua sends two spies also into the first major Canaanite nation city by the name of Jericho. And there, the spies met a woman whose name was Rahab. And Rahab said to the spies that she and the citizens of Jericho had heard of what God had did to Pharaoh's army. And they had heard of the power of God. And in fact, when they had heard the children of Israel were nearby, they were trembling. And I want to tell you something. This world may curse our God, and the rappers may curse our God, and the rock and rollers may curse our God. But in their heart of hearts, they know that there is a powerful God who has power even over them. And sometimes I think they wonder why we as Christians don't live like there's such a powerful God. Because Rahab said to those spies, we know that you have a powerful God. In fact, in your notes, Joshua 2 and 24, they said then unto Joshua, the spies did, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. You see, God was beginning to move and prepare again. But he chose a man. He chose a man named Joshua who was willing to continually follow after him. Now in his 80s, Joshua would be the one that would lead the children of Israel into the promised land. I want you to look into this man's life for a few moments with me. Notice first of all this morning, the pursuit of God's plan. This man Joshua never forgot the promise of God. He continually pursued the promise of God. Notice Joshua's anticipation in verse 1. Joshua rose up early in the morning and they removed from Shittim. Their camp was in this place called Shittim, this little village area. And Joshua, the Bible says, anticipated so greatly that he rose up early and he began to make his way toward the Jordan River. I believe this was indicative of his life. A man who anticipated the working of God. A man who, like Jesus Christ, rose up early, waiting to see what God would do. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35 tells us, and in the morning, speaking of Jesus, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. You know, I believe it's a good thing to get up in the morning and spend time with God and seek the leadership of God and anticipate what God is going to do in that day. Now, most men are good at getting up and feeding ourselves. And we might get up and have pancakes. We might have bacon and eggs. We might have Cheerios or Wheaties. But we're going to make sure we put something in our stomach before the day begins. But I believe that Joshua was the kind of man that not only got up and had his breakfast, but he woke up anticipating what God was going to do that day. I wonder how often God wants to work in our lives, but we're just not expecting it, not believing him for it. And yet Joshua teaches us that we ought to, like Jesus, wake up with anticipation of the Lord. He had a faith that was focused on what God could do. He had a faith in God to deliver the people people into the promised land. The Bible says in 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now you can choose to live the life of a victim, or you can choose to be an overcomer by faith in Jesus Christ. And Joshua said, I'll not let the lack of faith of 10 men determine my future. I will continue to believe and trust in God. And so we see that this man had great anticipation in the working hand of God. But notice secondly, Joshua's action. For the Bible says in verse 1, and they removed themselves from Shittim. Now this town was about 5 miles away from the banks of the Jordan River. And Joshua had done his reconnaissance. But now the time came for action. Now the time came to pull up their tent stakes and to move close to where God was going to do the work that only God could do. Now was the time to leave that place of comfort, that place of callousness perhaps for some, that place of complacency. And now was the time to get a little bit uncomfortable, but to move closer to what God was going to do in their life. You see, an unbelieving man says, let's go back to where it is safe. But a faith-filled man will always say, let's move forward to where God is working. I've been thinking this last week about when we first came to Lancaster and how we left a church that had offered a salary and medical insurance and had all of those things, and we came to a group of 12 people where no salary and no medical insurance could be offered, and how we came by faith trusting God, and how we pulled up our stakes and drove a Ryder truck across the desert and unpacked into a little apartment downtown Lancaster and started knocking on doors, just believing that God had something in store for our lives. You see, faith is not a pill you take. It's a muscle you use. And as you exercise faith, then God begins to bless the Christian that steps out by faith. Oh, listen, I thank the Lord for the stories of the Bible that inspire my faith. Noah believed God and built an ark, and Abraham believed God and launched out to a city unbeknownst to him. Joseph believed God even during the difficulty of his life. He never stopped believing. Moses believed God and led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And David believed God and fought a giant. And the stories go on and on and on. I'm here to tell you that every good work that pleases God starts with faith in the heart of God's people. Here we see they remove from their place. And then notice what it says in verse 1. Toward the end of that verse, it says, and they lodged there before they passed over. Now get this principle. Here we see the children of Israel going right to the banks of the Jordan River, and they are now lodged there. In other words, they're waiting for God to do something there. Joshua had this plan to pursue God and to pursue the will of God, even if it meant leaving his comfort zone, even if it meant getting down to an area that was dangerous on man's economy. He did what God wanted him to do as he continued for the Lord. Well, we see the pursuit of God's plan on Joshua's part, but notice secondly, the priority for God's people. Now let's notice what the people of God do in verse 3. It says, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest of the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Now this is very important for those of you who want to see God at work in your life. Notice first of all, the command to focus. There is a command given to the people that they are to focus. Watch this, please. They were not focusing on Joshua. That is not to negate the vital importance of human instrumentality and human leadership, nor is it to say that God's hand was not on Joshua's life, but their focus was supposed to be on the Ark of the Covenant. Now make a note of that, and I'll tell you why in just a moment. God said, I want all of you to focus on the covenant.
You've been listening to the 15-minute edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.